Little known fact about old Fannie Mou Ye, a.k.a. Ranny Do Ye. This is 100% true. Do you guys remember Z104? I don't know what it is now. I don't know what they're doing over there. But decades ago, it was like the pop music station. Oh, don't you fade that Prince down just yet. I'm not ready for that. Keep that Prince up. I won a dance contest. Yeah.
A dance contest?
At, what was the name of that place? Polyester's on Z104 was there doing some kind of promotion, whatever, right? So I'm at Polyester's. I think that's the name of the club or whatever it was. I don't want to say the girl's name because she would, I don't know that she'd want that on the record or whatever. But the point was, it was a partner dance contest thing. And we won it. I won $104.
Let's go.
In a dance contest to this song. Hand to God.
That's incredible.
Ask me anything. What do you want to know?
I didn't know you could dance. Anything else?
I don't know that I can now to the same degree, but there's a little locking, a little popping. There's,
all right.
There were some maneuvers there. I use my giant ass, if I can say that, to my advantage, right? So there's a little bit of humor there where it's like, oh my God, there's just a lot hanging, you know, coming at you.
Yeah.
So to speak. But yes. So the young lady, I was like, listen, we're being judged. Just, you know, smile a lot and act like it's fun and we'll have a chance. And we won.
I can assure you that if there was any sort of contest for anything, something that I would never win, it'd be a dance contest. I stand no chance.
But that happened. And my set, one of my favorite members of all time, and I mentioned this on the show a million times before, but rest in peace, Prince. We went to a joint bachelor party for my buddies, Michael and Ramsey, down in Miami, Florida. And Michael's had a much older brother, still does, but has a much older brother, who lived not too far from Miami, where we went for, kind of centered around for the bachelor party. And, you know, we'd already done the thing where we want to make it super easy. We kind of had money that we were going to spend on stuff sort of in advance. Everyone got their own hotel rooms and stuff. But like, hey, dinner, so we're not doing a thing where we're like waiting around for the check. Can you give me 50? Can you give me 75? It's before Venmo, but we still kind of organized it. And we're all kind of set with finances to make it easy and seamless to go from place to place. Range transportation was like 15 of us, right? Long and short, he asked for $128 for, and we're like, for what? For each of us. And he's like, it's tickets to a club. And we're like, tickets to a club? Like, what are you talking about? What, you know, cover is usually $20, maybe $10. You're a big group. It's like, you know, for a certain kind of bottle service, maybe it's more. What are you talking about? He goes, just trust me. It's a great place to go and it'll be really fun. And so we're like, all right, man, I guess we'll do that. That's fine. So we gave this one. This is when our 20s, where that's like a fortune. That's like $41,000 in today's money, right? But anyway, so we give it to him and we go to this club called Mansion, right in the middle of Miami. I don't know if it's where it is exactly. I don't really know Miami, but we're there. And he hands us our tickets as we get out of the cabs that we took from our hotel. And on the ticket, it says Sheila E. on the ticket. I'm like, Sheila E? What do I know that from? What do I know? Why is it? I thought we were going to Mansion. What is that? We're not processing. We're all drinking and having fun and hanging out. Sheila E. is Prince's backup singer. She was doing a concert there at Mansion in Miami, and people that knew, like ball knowers know, Sheila E. is part of the Power Generation, and she's awesome in her own right, a great and accomplished musical artist. And Sheila E. is having a concert that night. And I'm going, still $128, it still seems like a lot. Why? We get in, we get to our section, it's a section we're kind of a little bit roped off because there's a whole bunch of us, and we're slamming drinks and stuff, and here comes Sheila E. and the band, and I go, you guys, look at the stage. There comes Prince. Just playing backup guitar for Sheila E. Prince is playing backup for his band member.
That's incredible.
One of the biggest stars ever is playing backup guitar, playing lead guitar on her tracks, her songs, her everything, her originals. I don't know Sheila E.'s exhaustive catalog, but I'm sitting there going, that's Prince, bro. He played the keyboard. He played the guitar. He played the drums. He played some kind of little tiny, funny-looking guitar. He played the double guitar that had, I don't know what the second part of the guitar did, but it did something. He played the bass. He's just up, and you cannot take your eyes off of him, right? And it's even just that was incredible, okay? So her set ends. She does like an hour, is belting out songs, kicking all kinds of ass. And everybody's having a grand old time. People are drinking. Everything's flowing. Like the women of Capistrano or Salmon of Capistrano. It's awesome. So we think, okay, that was pretty cool. That's nice. So a few minutes later, spotlight on the stage. Out walks Prince. Do y'all mind if I play a little bit? And the roof blew off of this you-know-what.
Yeah, I can imagine.
The couple hundred people, I would say probably 2,000 people that are in this nightclub. That's kind of got, doesn't really have seating. We had seats because we were like, you know, ballers that were spending tens of dollars on rail vodka. But still, we're there. And here's Prince. And then the band just comes right back out. And he starts, he goes, I'll just play Purple Rain to start. And I mean, tears are coming out of eyes. Panties are incinerating. Like, no, it was one of the most incredible experiences of my life. I am annihilating drinks, hammering drinks, okay? Way overserved. It's not my fault I was served that much alcohol, okay? Hammer drunk. One of the great situations and memories ever. Prince played for another hour and 20 minutes and walks off, and I'm like, that, I'll never see anything like that. We ended up at a place called Nikki Beach. This is true. I had gone on a first date with my now wife that week, and I was like, listen, we can't hang out this weekend. I'm going to this bachelor party or whatever, but you know, maybe I'll see you when we get back and whatever, whatever. We go to Nikki Beach, and it's on the beach, and there are teepees. I found that fascinating. So I'm hammer drunk, and I wander out to a teepee, and the next thing I know, my face is in the sand because I have passed out in the teepee. And I'm aware and conscious, but the world is spinning so fast, and I can't get up. And so everybody, we're going to the next venue, and everyone's looking for me. The entire search, all the boys, 15 of these guys, are like, where is Danny? And I can't, like, I get my phone out, and the world is spinning so bad. So I call my buddy's fiance, one of the guys whose bachelor party it is. I get the thought process doesn't, I could have called one of my friends that's there, but I go, it's going to be too loud. They won't hear it, or they won't know. So I called the fiance of the guy whose bachelor party we're there for. You with me so far? And yes. I go with my face like this, and I go, can you tell them I'm in a teepee? Can you tell them I'm in a teepee? And she's like, I got it. Hangs up the phone, gets in touch with not her fiance, who's not answering the phone because he's just shouting into the ether if I'm around, our responsible friend who probably drank more than all of us that night. And she goes, Danny says he's in a teepee. Does that make any sense? And he goes, yes. Hangs up the phone. They come get me, right? So they're like, okay, the night's over for Danny. Lights out on this guy. This is the end, right? He's sand everywhere. It's like Anakin Skywalker talking to Padme. He hates the sand. It's everywhere. It's in my boxers. It's in my shirt. It's in my beard. I'm pummeled. And so for whatever reason, like the world's spinning, like, you know, it's okay, big cat. You tried hard. You did everything you could. You were like you're like a big starburst tonight, buddy. You did a lot tonight. You really hustled. You got after it. So somehow, some way, something pulled me back. Something pulled me back in, not sobriety, but I got like a jolt of energy in life. And it's like I got a mushroom in Mario. Okay. And I'm like, I'm good. I dust myself off, and they're like, this is the most miraculous turnaround of all time. I'm like borderline about to puke on myself and end everybody's night. And I go, let's go to the bar. And I ordered mint juleps for anyone that wanted one. Again, these are bizarre behaviors for a dude working in a nonprofit making $13,000. But I did. I have a $280 bar tab from Nikki Beach as testimony for me. And so I get myself and everyone who wants one a mint julep, and we continued on with the evening. But Prince passing out in a teepee on Nikki Beach, I just thought of that. Even though I asked for Prince, I was like, that'll be fun. And for whatever reason, that's what that reminds me of. Back to you, Toby.
That's such a good story. I have nothing that could top that. I have no story in the same stratosphere as that one. That's incredible.
It's a pretty great story. So it starts with Prince playing like a free concert to a couple thousand drunk buffoons in Miami. And me passing out in a teepee on Nikki Beach.
Yes, I feel like it was a spinoff of The Hangover.
I was thinking that the entire time he was talking about it. In an alternate universe,
yeah,
Danny was
Mr.
In
Chow.
Danny's in a real life version of The Hangover.
Okay, so I totally sabotaged that segment. I hope people were mildly entertained by that story, but it's true. Every word of that, by the way. The part that there's so many, because again, I'm telling, recounting the story like these are legitimate decisions.
Yeah, from the guy that passed out in the teepee.
Yeah, none of my decisions were good. It wasn't like I go, here's a good thought process, but that's what happened. I'm just sharing with you guys what happened. And I don't have a good analogy, but it was like I felt, I don't know how to describe it better than this. I was pulled back by some force from the brink of, I had the spins, my night was over. Every time I've gone there, it's been, you pass out, you puke, or something worse, and it just, you feel this terrible. And somehow, something like ripped me back from the precipice.
You just got that miraculous second wind.
And that has never happened before and never happened since in terms of drinking the alcohols. That's what I have for you.
That's hilarious.
Now, I ruined the segment by telling a story. We still want to do this. Darris will play mediator here. We've got a bunch of national reporters who have made the case against Washington's football 53, saying they're not very good. We'll call some balls and strikes. We think they're wrong about some stuff. Maybe they have a point about some other stuff. I swear to you, we will do this next, unless Darris plays a song that reminds me of something else, and maybe I'll tell that story. But G&D here on The Fan.